Chapter 15.
Come on, Dad!
Eric pleaded as we walked through the halls of the Dragonkin Palace.
I'm not a child anymore. I'm going to be the future Draco Rex, you know? I need to be a part of this battle.
No, you don't. I shook my head. It's too dangerous. If the orcs brought the goblins along with them, then we have no idea what kind of tricks they have up their sleeves. It's too dangerous.
We can fight Draco Rex.
Kaelan also pleaded, with both me and his mother.
You've seen what I'm capable of.
It's not what you two are capable of, I reminded both the boys. It's what our enemies are capable of. You've both done well when we're out on our adventures, killing small groups of orcs or funneling our enemies into traps, but this is different. This is war, and I don't think either of you are ready for that quite yet. You're going to go with the rest of the non-combatants into the safe hold, and that's final.
Seriously?
Kaelan crossed his arms across his chest.
Mom!
Go with the rest of the children, Kaelan.
Pei ordered her child as she got down on one knee.
We've already lost so many of our people. We don't need to lose the only remaining Spindrel male. I'm giving you an order as your Magnus due, Kaelan, not your mother.
The brown-haired boy opened his mouth to protest, but he quickly snapped it shut and frowned. He nodded his head somberly, and then he turned around and began to walk toward the fleeing Dragonkin women. You too, Eric, I commanded my son.
Ugh, this is dragon shit,
Eric grumbled, but he obeyed my command. My son jogged until he caught up to Kaelan, and then they both disappeared around the corner of the corridor. Teenagers. People always joked about how hard they were to raise, but at least those people never had to make the call about putting them in life-or-death situations.
They probably could have helped us,
Pei confirmed.
Kaelan is a strong warrior in his own right, and it appears your son is as well, but it's simply not worth the risk.
You can say that again, I noted, as I burst through the main door of the palace. The second I was through, I saw the entirety of my army before me. The Nyrlup women all stood at the ready, with their bows in their hands and their arrow quivers tied up firmly to their backs. Beside them were a handful of the Morpho. Awara, Kandara, Zarandri, and Holara fluttered in the sky above the rest of the crew, though it appeared the other two had decided to take up refuge in the safe house. I couldn't really blame them. Despite their abilities with a fan blade, Dalwin and Elzara weren't really fighters. The Chera women were all present as well. Batari, Ashanti, Rikuri, Baratu, and Zikiyu all sat atop their oversized ants, with their bronze weapons at the ready. Meanwhile, the Chero shaman, Zamwe, rested nonchalantly on the back of her pet land dragon. And Huwar held his long, brown, scaly neck high as he looked down on us over his triangular snout. Then there was the Kunag women, all of whom stood there like over-anxious children, as they shifted their weight back and forth on their feet and made chittering noises. What made me nearly have a heart attack, however, was the fact that Nadir and Lazan both had our children swaddled to their chests. Seriously, guys? I threw out my arms and huffed.
It'll be good for them, Ben!
Lazan protested.
Most Kunak children would kill to witness a battle this early in their lives!
Nope! I shook my head. Nope, take them back to the stronghold and then meet us back on the beach.
Fine.
Nadir frowned as she marched toward the door.
But when Terra and Okir ask me why they didn't get to do battle sooner, I'm going to tell them all about this.
Be my guest, I chuckled as I watched the two Kunag women pass by. The Spindrel women and the dragons were also amongst the soldiers, as were all of the various Dragonkin women who inhabited our island. As I looked over all the various badass warrior women and our dragons, a bit of pride billowed up from my stomach. Our army had grown so much since the beginning, and each and every one of these people brought something unique to the table that had helped us get to where we were today.
Are you going to say something, Ben?
Gemma's soothing voice chuckled from above. I glanced up to see that she was riding atop Tyrion, and my heart raced at the sight. Are you sure you're ready to do battle? I asked the auburn-haired deer woman. You just had a baby, like, less than a week ago.
Tyrion will be doing most of the footwork.
Gemma winked before she leaned forward and scratched her bondmate under his chin.
I just have to sit back and practice my sharpshooting.
Gemma has been dying to get back into the fray.
The green-scaled Dragonkin warrior, Sella, spoke up.
It's all she has talked about in recent days.
We're glad to have you back. I smiled at my lover. Next to Ashanti and the rest of you Nyrlopes, we might be able to take out our opponents before they even land. Now, before we get out of there, I've got a few ideas. Particularly for the dragons.
We shall do whatever you desire, dear one,
George confirmed with a slight bow. They probably know about the water dragons and Tyrion, but we killed all the goblins who would have known about Bungal here, and all the orcs who would have fought against Uwar. If we can have Bungao fly in and light these bastards up out of nowhere, we could finish the fight before it even begins.
Oh, espionage! I love it!
And if that doesn't work?
Mira questioned.
How would it not?
Sela chuckled.
It's a massive dragon versus wooden ships. I wouldn't expect you to know.
Mira teased her friend.
The goblins are not great fighters, so they resort to dirty tactics. I wouldn't be surprised if these fuckers of mothers had a plan to go against our flying friends.
We'll deal with that when we get to it. But for now, Bungao, I want you to fly around the island as low to the water as possible so you remain out of sight. Then, once you have a clear shot, burn all of those ships to the fucking ground.
Good show, Benjamin.
Bungao nodded.
I shall get to work at once.
The fat brown dragon lifted up into the air, hovered just above the tree line of the jungle, and then flew out of sight. We're gonna hope the plan works, I announced to the rest of my friends. If they somehow get past Bungao, then I want my archers to rain arrows down on their heads. And if that doesn't work, I trust you all know what to do.
Smashing skulls!
The Kunag women all yelled in unison as they raised their axes above their heads. All I could do was laugh as the rest of the women looked at them with horrified expressions. More or less. Just be careful. If these are the goblins, they won't fight anything like the orcs we're used to.
It doesn't matter what they are.
The hornless chair-woman, Rikuri, spoke up.
We'll defeat them just the same.
That's what I like to hear. I nodded happily. Now, let's get down there. I led the way, and my army followed me down the pathway that led to the beach. This time, the jungle was eerily silent, almost as if the island itself knew something big was about to go down. We remained mostly quiet as we ventured down the path, save for the occasional chitter from the Kunag women and the click of our heels against the uneven pavement. Finally, after a short journey, we came to the wall and climbed up the stair willow so we could see what we were dealing with. I kind of wish we hadn't. Out on the horizon, about a half mile out to sea, was a fleet of orc warships numbering at least 10. They slowly turned so their cannons were facing the beach, and then they went still as they dropped their anchors into the shallow water beneath them. Whew, that's a lot of ships.
Which means lots of enemies.
Alvi grumbled beside me. Not if we can help it, I noted, and then I turned my thoughts on Bungao. Hey, Bungao, are you in position?
Oh, I have been in position for quite some time.
The thespian voice of Bungao chuckled.
Just give me the word, Benjamin, and I will set them ablaze.
There's no time like the present. Line them up! Suddenly, the sound of Bungao's massive wings echoed across the beach, and the obese brown dragon flew into view. The fire breather was massive, yet graceful, as he soared toward the fleet of orc ships. He took a deep breath and summoned bits of red and yellow embers into his mouth, as his jowls inflated like a pufferfish, and then Bungao opened up his jaw to release the attack. The second he did so, there rang out a massive roaring bang. The sound reminded me of thunder rumbling across the horizon as it echoed over the ocean waves, and we all saw what appeared to be a visible shockwave shoot up into the sky. The wave sent Bungao's fire breath off in all directions before it continued on and hit the dragon himself.
Oof!
Bungao declared as his massive body was tossed backward like a rag doll. Bungao did a backwards somersault through the air for a few seconds before he caught himself, reoriented his body, and looked completely flabbergasted.
What the hell just happened?
I asked via our dragon bond.
It is unclear,
the thespian dragon replied.
Some sort of massive sound hit me and...
There was another clap of thunder, and a second shockwave blasted up toward Bungao. This time, the dragon was able to dodge the attack, which he then countered with another fiery breath of his own. Just like last time, a shockwave flew up and scattered the flames to the wind.
What's happening, Ben?
Mira growled.
How are they blocking his fire?
I wish I knew. Bungao, head back to the shore.
I believe I can hit the ships if I simply...
Bungao began, but then he was nearly knocked out of the sky by another shockwave.
Oh, egads!
We'll have to try another way. You're no use to anyone if you're stuck dodging a bunch of sound waves. We need you on the battlefield.
Oh, it is to be a retreat, then.
Bungao declared, and then he flew back toward our position. Looks like we're going to have to go for Plan B, I called out to my friends. We pump them full of arrows when they get to dry land. Archers, stay up here. Everybody else, we're going down. Dragons, stay on standby. We don't know what we're up against, and I don't want to get caught with our pants down. Other than Swa'er, I have a special job for you if you're up to the task.
I'm up for anything, Ben,
the furry wind dragon replied. You see those ships out there?
I pointed to the fleet. I've seen this tactic before. They're going to do everything in their power to try and break down this wall, which means they'll be firing cannons at us at will. What I need you to do is keep an eye out and blow any cannonballs away as they're fired. Do you think you can do that?
That's all.
Swa'er held his head high.
I can do that in my sleep.
Good. Because I don't want to have to repair this fucking wall again. Now, let's go. My friends and I came down the other side of the stairwillow, down onto the beach that was about to become our battlefield. I looked around at all the fortifications we'd made over the last year or two and thought about how well they'd held up against orcs, wargs, and ghosts. Surely they'd hold up against whatever was on that ship. Soon we saw countless tiny gray bodies rappel down the sides of the warships, plop into the water, and wade their way up to the beach.
Definitely goblins,
Shala growled as she tightened her grip on her double-pointed staff. Get ready, everyone, I declared as I drew my sea-glass sword. Defend this wall at all costs, and watch out for anything in a vial or that comes in a fucking powder. As the goblins funneled out of their ships toward the shore, two massive wooden doors clanked down and opened up the sides of the ships on the furthest end of the fleet. My heart sank when I saw what was inside. Two beasts about the size of Huwar strode out into the water as they let out simultaneous hearty wails. Their legs were somewhat short and stubby, which made their stomachs drag through the water as they strode forward. The creatures' narrow, oval-shaped heads sat atop thick, wide necks that held their noggins close to their torsos. And I noticed as they moved, they reminded me of oversized Komodo dragons. Their short, stubby tails dragged behind them in the water as their bodies sashayed back and forth. These creatures were covered head to toe in green scales that were bumpy and raised like a crocodile's, with rounded eyes that jutted out from their skulls. Behind each eye bump sat a neon-yellow tendril, much like the whiskers on Swa'er. But as they approached the shore, I could see the tendrils were pulsating with some sort of energy.
What are those things?
Pei gasped. I'm not sure. Chera women? Kandara? Anyone know what we're up against here?
It's reptilian for sure!
Kandara noted from above.
It's more than that.
The hornless Chero, Rikuri, sneered.
It's definitely a dragon of some sort. I just don't know what kind of dragon it is.
Ah, fuck me. Of course, the goblins brought not one, but two dragons along for the ride. Stick to the plan. Once they're in range, rain hell down on these motherfuckers. I heard the elastic stretch of dozens of bows as their strings were pulled back and held in place. And my heart hammered in my ears as I watched the little gray fuckers approaching alongside their mysterious new dragons.
Hold!
I heard Ainsley announce from the wall behind us.
Hold until they get in place!
My eyes narrowed as the enemy army continued on, until finally our opponents were out of the water and headed straight our way.
Now!
Fire!
The landscape was filled with several thwips as the arrows were released, and for a brief second the shadows of the deadly projectiles blotted out the sun. Unfortunately, the goblins were prepared for such an assault. The two green dragons skidded to a stop, looked up at the incoming arrows, and then began to let out strange chirping noises. As they did so, their throats seemed to puff in and out like a frog, and the tendrils on their heads began to glow intensely. Finally, both of the dragons opened their mouths, and two giant shockwaves shot out and slammed into the arrows. Several of the incoming projectiles shattered into bits of wood and sea glass, while the rest simply were pushed off in all directions, as if they'd been caught in hurricane-level winds.
What now?
The purple-haired morpho Olara gasped.
None of our plans are working!
Plan C! I commanded my crew.
There's a plan C!
Mira raised an eyebrow in my direction.
It's the Kunag women's plan! Smash some fucking skulls! Dragons, focus on those lizard things! Everybody else, charge!
I held my sword high and let out a battle cry, which was repeated by the rest of my crew. Then we all charged forward, straight toward the army of gray goblins. We met them about halfway across the beach, and that's when all hell broke loose. Sticks, spears, and axes clashed with daggers as my soldiers took on the invaders, and the air was filled with the screams of goblins as they were cut down one by one. Two of the bastards tried to come at me with their double daggers, but I was quick on the draw. I ducked down from the first attack and then rolled to the left, just as the second goblin lashed out at my legs. Without even looking, I brought my sword up in a giant arc as I sprang to my feet, and the sea glass blade connected with the head of a nearby goblin. There was a spray of blood as my sword sliced diagonally up through his cheek, and his beady black eye popped loose from its socket when my blade passed over it. The goblin fumbled with his eyeball as he screamed in agony, but I quickly finished him off by stabbing my sword through his chest. Without removing the weapon from my slain opponent, I spun around and used the corpse as a shield. The second goblin's blades plunged into the first, so I quickly used the opportunity to slam my boot into my attacker's right leg. His bone seemed to shatter completely as it crunched and stabbed out through his skin, and the goblin screamed as his leg buckled under his own weight. I tossed the corpse of the first goblin away before I pulled my sword back and took a hearty swing at my opponent's neck. The razor-sharp sea glass cut through the goblin's flesh like it was nothing, and the fucker's head flew up into the air with a geyser of crimson blood. The bastard's decapitated body went rigid, and then it fell over onto the ground and bled out into the sand. I didn't have time to savor my victory because there were still plenty of goblins to kill, and I spun around just as one of the ugly fuckers came at me with a knife. Oh, how cute. I sidestepped my attacker, twirled my sword in my hands, and brought it up into the bottom of his elbows. The goblin shrieked in agony as his arm flew off his body, and blood sprayed from his freshly created stump. He stumbled backward, and then I quickly ended his life by driving my sea glass sword straight between his eyes. The bastard's dark orbs rolled back in his skull as he went limp, and then he fell to the ground, dead. As I turned back to the rest of the battle, I saw just how the rest of my army was faring. The Spindrel women were mostly together since they seemed to always fight in unison, and it was like watching a deadly dance number as the beautiful women twirled their sticks and moved in quick, unpredictable spins and flips. They skewered goblins left and right with their double-sided staffs, and they made short work of any fucker who was unfortunate enough to try and attack them first. Warren assisted the Spindrel women, and the venomous Slaughtertooth was practically a one-creature army. He snarled as he sunk his teeth into a goblin and then shook him like a dog with a chew toy. The goblin flailed for only a second, and then his body began to seize as white foam poured from his mouth. Warren simply tossed his opponent to the side before he dodged an incoming dagger strike, wiggled his butt in anticipation, and then pounced onto another goblin. Meanwhile, the Nirilope dropped goblins left and right from their position on the wall. They may not have been able to take out the whole army in a single massive wave of arrows, but they were certainly able to take them down one by one with individual attacks. Several goblin corpses, riddled with arrows, lined the beach, and at least three more fell as I watched them charging. Then there were the Dragonkin and the Chero women, who kicked ass as usual. Mira, Sela and the twins all let loose cries of war as they stabbed, kicked, and disarmed goblins like they were children. At the same time, the Chero women were having a field day with their attackers. I watched as one of the goblins was snapped in two by the jaws of a Murak, and then I saw Batari and Rikuri cut down two goblins where they stood with a quick ride-by slash. The Morpho women, on the other hand, didn't really have to get up close and personal with their enemies. The human butterflies remained airborne, and they swarmed the goblins as if they were piranhas during a feeding frenzy. They all made quick passes at their enemies through the air, and the poor goblins were helpless to counter against the aerial assault. Sprays of blood shot up into the air as the Morpho women slashed the throats, limbs, and torsos of the goblins, sometimes even multiple times. It didn't take long for the fuckers to bleed out, and they fell over onto the ground, dead. It was literally a death by a thousand cuts situation.
These bitches are crazy!
I heard a goblin scream in terror as he ran back toward the water. That must have been the Kunag women. I glanced over at the raccoon women, who were already covered from head to toe in the blood of their enemies. Nadir and Lazan had returned to the fray, and they led their sisters in the all-out assault on the tiny little goblin fuckers.
No mercy!
Lazan cackled, just before she tore out a goblin's eye with her frickin' teeth. The zany raccoon women shrieked as they held their axes high and chased down any fleeing enemies. Maybe I didn't need to be worried after all. These goblins were fucking paper tigers. Without their special little chemical weapons and those giant-ass dragons, it was like we were fighting children. I parried another incoming dagger blow before I lashed out, wrapped my left hand around the goblin's throat, and lifted him into the air.
Oh, let go of me, you bastard!
He snarled as he kicked feebly. Eh, if you say so. I shrugged.
I tossed the gray-skinned fucker into the air, and then slashed my sword across his abdomen. He gasped as his internal organs spilled out onto the sand with a steaming hiss, and the poor guy went into shock the second he slammed back into the ground. There was a series of loud bangs in rapid succession, and I turned around to see several flashes of fire as the goblin cannons were fired. Thankfully, we had Swa'er on our side. The little red dragon swooped in from the left, inhaled deeply, and then let loose a blast of wind from his mouth. The waves below became harsh as the deadly breeze passed over the water, and the cannonballs were all blown completely off course. That's right. Try to take down our wall now, fuckers. You know, Bungal, I asked telepathically, I think I'm rethinking my previous comment. Help Swa'er take out those ships, if you get a minute.
If I can break away, I shall,
Bungal declared from across the beach.
I am not sure my allies can handle these ferocious beasts on their own.
You're coming back, right?
Malky questioned as he jumped out of the way of an incoming shockwave. Sand sprayed up into the air where the shockwave struck, and I really, really didn't want to find out what would happen if those things were turned against my army.
I would never abandon my friends,
Bungal scoffed as he did a barrel roll to dodge another shockwave.
Then go destroy those ships,
Nixie snarled.
And get right back here.
All of the dragons, other than Tyrion and Swa'er, were currently engaged with the mystery beasts. Nixie, George, Saren, and Malky were all engaged with one of the green-scaled creatures, while Huwar and Bungal attacked the other. Huwar came at his enemy with body blow after body blow, with his club-like neck, and he seemed to be doing some damage. Zamwe stood atop her land dragon's back as she barked out orders in her native Chero tongue. The family of water dragons, however, couldn't seem to get an attack in edgewise. They darted around the mystery dragon like a pack of hyenas, circling their prey, yet the bastard with the neon tendrils was quick to parry and dodge their attacks.
Bungal the Mighty, away!
Bungal suddenly changed his trajectory and shot off toward the goblin ships. That's when I heard the sound of shattering glass, and my body went on pins and needles. I instantly slammed my mouth shut, and I held my breath as a strange yellow mist rose from the ground at my feet. I jumped away from the certainly deadly gas, spun around, and held my sword at the ready.
You're cleverer than I would have thought, Dragon King.
A nasally voice sneered.
And here I thought only a total idiot would have walked into a warehouse full of enemies in broad daylight.
Before me stood a goblin who was distinctly different than the rest. He had a bit of a hunch in his back, which caused him to lean forward at the waist like he was frickin' Igor. Around his neck was tied a tattered green cloak that fell down to his knees and came up to form a hood around his head. Attached to his waist was a belt that would have put Batman's to shame, and it was packed to the brim with all sorts of vials, pouches, and bottles. Even though I'd never seen this guy before, I knew who he was in an instant. "The alchemist, I presume?" I snarled.
So, you do know of me,
the goblin snickered. Of course I know you. You're a sadistic asshole who tortures his own people and wipes out entire races with his fucked up experiments.
Oh, glad to hear my reputation precedes me. Oh, it's almost a shame we have to kill you now, Dragon King. If you live for a bit longer, maybe you could go and spread the word of my wonderful deeds to every other island. It would let us skip the formalities when we conquer them.
You talk a tough game for a dude who's getting his ass kicked. I gestured to the battle around us. You're fucked, especially right about... now. Bungal swooped down from the clouds and unleashed a massive blast of fire down on the fleet of goblin ships. They went up in flames in an instant, and I heard the wail of the crews as they were burned to a crisp. However, the alchemist just shrugged.
We won't need our ships. Once we kill you and take over your island, we'll simply steal yours.
Over my dead body!
That is the idea, Dragon King.
A smile rose up the fucker's face as he reached down for a vial on his belt. Oh, no you don't. I took a step forward and swung at the alchemist's throat, but he simply ducked to the left. He threw a vial of red powder at me as he straightened himself up, and all I could do was blindly roll away seconds before it swished past my head.
The vial slammed into the ground and went off with a miniature explosion.
Ugh, those fucking incendiary potions. This asshole was literally trying to fight me with makeshift grenades.
Huh, is that it? I taunted as I took another swipe at the fucker. Your plan is to just blow me up. The goblin sidestepped the attack, spun around, and slammed his foot into the small of my back. I let out a grunt of frustration as I stumbled forward, and then I allowed myself to use my momentum to fall down into a somersault. Thank fuck I did, because another vial of explosive potion slammed into the ground where I had just stood, and sent sand flying into the air.
The plan is to kill you and take what is yours.
Well, that's your first mistake, I said, as I turned back around. Even if you somehow got lucky enough to kill me, which you won't, my soldiers would take each and every one of you out before you could get over that wall. Just face it, Alchemist. You're fucked.
The wall?
The Alchemist grinned.
It is nothing my thunder dragons can't get through.
The goblin glanced over to his dragons, called out something in a foreign language, and then let out a sharp whistle. Suddenly, the two green-scaled beasts broke away from their entanglement with my dragons and scurried across the beach as they approached the wall. As they ran, they let out the strange chirping sound, and their tendrils glowed neon with their charging energy. My archer's arrows bounced off their bodies as if they were nothing, as the thunder dragons skidded to a stop, hauled back their heads, and then unleashed shockwaves straight into the wall. The waves slammed into the concrete and sent massive cracks up the side of the wall. Several pieces of concrete broke away as the entire structure trembled, and the archers up top fell onto their asses as their bodies were shaken to the core. Fuck! With just one attack, the Thunder Dragons had caused massive damage to our greatest defense. If they were allowed to get off another attack, the wall was going to fall.
You scallywags!
Boongal declared as he shot down from the sky. The fat brown dragon didn't slow his momentum as he slammed into the left thunder dragon and tackled him into the sand. And I watched with bated breath as the two dragons tumbled around, blasting off fire and shockwaves at each other at a close range, and then lashing out with their teeth and claws. However, I didn't have much time to watch the battle, because the alchemist went on the offensive. The fucker dashed forward, produced his iron dagger, and lunged at my heart. I grabbed the alchemist's arm and prepared to turn him into an amputee, but that was exactly what he wanted. The fucker tossed some sort of powder into my face, and I let out a gasp as my vision began to tunnel. I quickly threw my boot up into the alchemist's stomach and kicked him to the ground as I stumbled backward and shook my head furiously. My vision went completely black, and my face felt like it was suddenly under a heat lamp.
Oh, don't worry, Dragon King.
The alchemist taunted through a wheeze.
It's not permanent. Your vision should come back just in time to see yourself disemboweled.
Even though I couldn't see shit, I knew the fucker was coming for me. I blindly swung my sword in broad, awkward strokes to keep him at bay, and for the time being that seemed to work. Then I heard the sound of clinking glass. So I quickly fell to the ground and rolled out of the way of whatever concoction the alchemist was about to throw at me. I felt a wave of heat against my back as the glass shattered, and I knew I'd just barely avoided getting burnt to a crisp. My vision was now slowly returning, but I was nowhere near 100% yet. I could see basic colors, though everything looked like it was an amorphous blob. Still, I could at least see the green and gray of the alchemist, which made his advantage not that great. The goblin came at me again. But this time I was ready. I stepped out of the way of his incoming attack, pulled my pink stone dagger from its sheath, and stabbed at his chest. The alchemist screamed as my blade plunged into his skin, and then he pulled back. I must not have delivered a killing blow, however, because the bastard remained on his feet and seemed to reach down into his belt. Not this time, motherfucker. Before he could produce whatever chemical weapon he was trying to, I sprang forward and took a swing at his chest with my sword. The alchemist jumped backward, but I felt my blade catch his flesh as he moved. He let out a grunt of pain as a bit of crimson sprayed into the air, but he still didn't fall. My vision had now completely returned to normal, and I was ready to end this fight once and for all.
Give it up, Dragon King. You can't defeat my thunder dragons.
Maybe not, but my dragons sure as fuck can. Another shockwave of thunder rang out across the beach. But it didn't seem to hit anything. Then I heard the sound I wanted to hear.
I heard a shrill, chirp-like wail from over by the wall. The alchemist and I both turned to see Bungal's teeth around the torso of one of the thunder dragons, and we watched as the fat brown dragon lifted the creature up off the ground, took a deep breath, and then unleashed his fire breath at point-blank range. The thunder dragon screamed for a brief second before the flames erupted out his side, and then his body went limp as the entirety of his torso was burned to ash. The dragon's two remaining halves fell into the sand, and Bungal smiled widely as he held his head high.
That's my dragon!
Nadir cackled from somewhere on the battlefield. You were saying? I smirked at the alchemist. The goblin's cocky grin twisted down into a scowl, and then he reached into his belt for another vial. Without a second's hesitation, I lifted my dagger and threw it as hard as I could. The weapon stabbed straight into the alchemist's left shoulder, and he let out a wail as his body was twisted around. I ran over to the fucker, fell down onto my knees, and then took out both of his legs with a swing of my sea glass sword. The alchemist screamed as blood sprayed from his stumps, and his body fell onto the ground. I quickly spun back around and stabbed my sword right down into his hand, which now held a strange vial of glowing blue liquid. The alchemist's hand went limp as I severed the tendons in his wrist, and then I wasted no time in stabbing through his other hand.
Why didn't you kill me?
The alchemist wailed as the blood drained from his wounds.
I thought you were supposed to be a merciful king.
I am, I admitted as I crouched down. But only to people who deserve mercy. Newsflash, you're not one of those people. Besides, I wanted to see what this potion does. I reached out with my free hand, picked up the vial of blue liquid, and then popped the cork out of the top.
Please,
the alchemist begged.
You don't want to do that.
I sheathed my sword, grabbed the fucker's jaw, and then opened his mouth. He tried to protest, but it was too late. I poured the blue liquid down his gullet and then watched his eyes go wide. His screams became gurgled as there was a sickly hiss, and smoke seemed to rise out from his mouth. I took a step back as the liquid continued to go through his body. Every single vein on the goblin turned a bright blue, and then his skin began to smoke. The alchemist's eyes rolled back in his head as his blood literally burned out through his veins like it was made of acid, and then he slumped over into the sand. The acidic liquid mixed with his crimson blood as it poured out onto the ground, and all I could do was whistle with a mix of horror and amusement. Whew. Damn. This fucker had made some really fucked up potions. The alchemist may have been dead, but the fight wasn't quite over. I looked up to see my friends still engaged with several goblins, and all of my dragons now focused their attention on the remaining thunder dragon. That was my next target. Still, I had no idea how I could help. I watched Huwar slam his head against the thunder dragon as George and Nixie blasted at it with their water breath. At the same time, Swaer, Bungal, and the adolescent water dragons attempted to attack with their razor-sharp teeth. Yet the thunder dragon still stood. The beast dodged all of the attacks with the grace of a smaller animal before he let out a shockwave and sent my dragons flying backward. Then I got an idea. I needed to use this fucker's own attack against him. But how? Seaglass arrows may as well have been made of plastic when it came to this creature, so how was I supposed to do any good with a weapon made of the same material? Unless I didn't use that material. I turned back to the alchemist and carefully picked up his iron dagger from his corpse. Seaglass had a similar hardness to iron, but it was a completely different material. Maybe, just maybe, I could make this work. If I missed, I was probably going to have every bone in my body shattered by a supersonic shockwave. My boots kicked up sand and grit as I charged toward the dragons, and my heart was in my throat.
What are you doing, Ben?
Gemma gasped inside my head.
Let the dragons handle that creature!
I'm not taking any chances. If the thunder dragon hits the wall with even one more blast, the whole thing is coming down.
I passed by several more goblin corpses as my friends took them down, and soon I was only a few dozen feet away from the Battle of the Dragons. Now I just had to wait for the fucker to attack again.
Ben!
George gasped when he saw me.
You cannot be here, dear one. It is too dangerous.
Funny. I'm usually the one who says that.
I watched as the thunder dragon dug his feet into the ground and made a circular motion with his tail.
the resulting attack sent all four of the water dragons and Huwar to the ground with a powerful thud. And the thunder dragon then quickly sent a shockwave straight up into Boomgal's belly.
Oi, gads!
Boomgal cried out as he flew back and slammed into Swa'er. With all of his opponents temporarily incapacitated, the thunder dragon turned his attention back to the wall. His neon tendrils began to glow as he made a chirping noise while his throat began to inflate, and I knew this was my only shot. I prayed to all the fucking gods I knew of as I ran at the thunder dragon, and my heart was in my throat as I swiftly fell to the ground, slid underneath his thick neck, and dragged the iron dagger across his throat. There was a strange, echoing hiss as the dagger sliced open the scales of the thunder dragon's neck, and the creature recoiled with a sharp squeal. As I rolled to my feet, I watched the thunder dragon stumble backward and frantically try to hold in his breath, but it was too late. His tendrils glowed intensely as his throat continued to try and inflate, but all he could do was fumble at the hole in his neck. The thunder dragon's breath escaped out through his throat, and the thing's entire head exploded like a fucking watermelon filled with gore. Bits of dragon brain, skull, and scales splattered across the battlefield, as his headless body took a few steps, and then it collapsed into the dirt.
The dragons have fallen!
One of the goblins screamed.
Alchemist?
Another one gasped.
Oh, shit, the alchemist is dead.
Retreat!
A nasally voice declared.
Hey, retreat to where?
Another one demanded.
Our ships are gone!
Anywhere!
The goblins began to scatter off in all directions, but I wasn't about to let them get away that easily.
Archers!
I commanded.
Tyrion! Take your marks!
Tyrion and Gemma flew over to the edges of the beach, and the silver dragon sent down a beam of white-hot flames at the fleeing goblins. They halted in place as they were stopped by the sudden wall of flames, and then their bodies were riddled with arrows as the archers fired at will. Some of the fuckers tried to turn back the other direction, but my foot soldiers were on them before they could even make a move. Within seconds, all of the remaining goblins were dead. I let out a deep sigh as I fell to my knees and looked up at the sky. Holy fuck! The battle was finally over. Somehow we'd pulled through.